Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. You may have heard Kyburg Nuclear Unit is granted another 20 years. That, I think, has been largely welcomed by many. But let's hear from Vali Pariachi, who is a former Eskom executive and a former senior executive at City Power as well. Thank you so much, Mr. Pariachi, again, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. To you and your listeners, many thanks for inviting me to your show. I'm glad to be back.
What do you make of the news? Another 20 years of Kyburg, is that welcome?
No, that's excellent news. You know, and you're talking to a person that comes from generation, has been a generation engineer for many years. This is excellent news for many reasons, Pamela. And very quickly,
yes, go ahead.
You know, just to reflect on that,
yes.
Kyburg, as you know, provides a baseload supply of energy that is reliable, cost-effective, and produces low-carbon emissions. Now, this unit is 930 megawatts. It's got a further 20 years to 2044, and then hopefully the other one will get another 20 years. And why this is critical, you know, it must be assessed in the context of this, and given South Africa's current volatile, challenging, and arguably precarious power and energy landscape. And this is notwithstanding Eskom's excellent generation recovery. Mm. So at least we've got another 20 years. And nuclear power plants are known to operate for about 60 years. So there's no danger in that. And one more point before I hand back to you.
Mm-hmm.
We must also note that, and we know that, a significant amount of Eskom's aging coal-fired power plant will be taken out of service, decommissioned around 2030, in accordance with the current IRP and Eskom decommissioning plan.
Mm.
So this means, and this is excellent, that the amount of available power to the national grid will be significantly reduced. So by having this Kyburg 1 extended by 20 years, it gives us that excellent cushion to prevent further and hopefully long-term load shedding, and we can get back to a normal life, Pamela.
You know, Mr. Pariachi, part of the problem here is that when you are a layperson like myself and the general public who don't understand, we rely so heavily on what experts tell us. And sometimes experts follow a particular agenda because government has a specific rhetoric that they're selling us at a specific time. Yeah, we're here now and we're all celebrating this nuclear power and its extension. There was a time when the word nuclear was not even something that you could even say out loud in energy generation not so long ago. And so those things are quite confusing. Just the impact of what this means for people like myself who are now asking, so what's changed? You know, the sector has said so many different things and now everybody's celebrating. What has changed?
No, I'm glad you asked that question. That's an excellent question. And maybe as a disclaimer, you're talking to a person that's independent.
Yes.
That has no hidden agenda and that comes from experience. So I'll put that up front.
Sure.
And lots of the confusion, unfortunately, is being caused by energy analysts who are termed, some of them, maybe lots of them, armchair energy analysts who probably haven't entered into a power station and who make these comments, and some of them make them for parochial interest, but it makes sense. You know, if you look at any energy mix globally, it makes sense that you have a balanced energy mix of technologies. And renewables, we support it, I support it, but it's a non-dispatchable technology. In other words, it's not always on.
Yeah.
Intermittently.
Yeah.
Nuclear is one of the best performing dispatchable technologies. In fact, our nuclear Kyburg has been performing at an energy availability factor of 93% for many years. It's come down to 77% of recently. But albeit, if we can get the pricing right, in fact, let me quote you a stat.
Yes.
That with this extension of by another further 20 years, we call that the LTO, which is the Long Term Operation Project, the cents per kilowatt hour of Quebec would be around 9.9 cents per kilowatt hour, which is much lower than the latest new wind or solar project. The average cost in terms of bid window 6 was 49 cents per kilowatt hour for wind and 43 cents per kilowatt hour for solar PV. So you compare 9.9 to those prices, it makes good sense. And also I would argue that by extending the life of these assets, the country benefits from the depreciating costs being almost next to nothing. There are some depreciating costs because there's some refurbishment done, but we don't incur the depreciating cost, and hopefully that benefit can extend to the customers. So nuclear makes sense, Pamela.
Yeah. So we hear now, and you made the point that, you know, things are starting to look good at Eskom. Your view on how sustainable it is? We know that a lot of money had to be put in some sort of maintenance. We have come over, I suppose, that hill where we spent all the money on diesel. But the current program that the minister is embarking on, are you confident about that?
Well, if I understand, you're talking about the Eskom Recovery Generation Plan.
Correct.
Yes. No, that's, you know, we came through an unfortunate period of state capture, corruption, and where we dropped the ball in terms of maintenance and refurbishment. And bear in mind that when I come from generation, generation is a complex engineering machinery. It needs high-caliber maintenance and need high performance culture of human resources, and I think we're getting back there. The aspect of that recovery, I think we're now the plus or minus under 9 days, which is excellent, and it's kudos to the Eskom leadership, the ministry, and the foot soldiers, the power stations. But we're still not out of the woods, Pamela. We could still get back to load shedding. We still haven't gone to the middle of winter. We could get back to stages 1 and 2. And Eskom still doesn't have a reserve margin or headroom, so we still have a risk. And ends, I repeat, this extension of the Quebec Unit 1 by 20 years, and hopefully we'll get the other one, comes at the right time. And it's an excellent vision. I know the last few years there have been significant rhetoric in the media and so on.
Yes.
By what I say, people sometimes, some of them are armchair, that were counter. But I say that Quebec, as a nuclear safety wise proven worldwide, there are 123 to 133 nuclear power plants, units, operating more than 40 years of life globally. The longest one is about 53 years old. So I'm very comfortable as a experienced generation engineer that the license, the Nuclear License Authority, made the decision under very careful circumstances. I mean, Eskom went through a process in terms of looking at the aging management, looking at all the processes to ensure safety, and an excellent decision was made, Pamela.
I really appreciate your time, Vali Pariachi, former Eskom executive manager and also former senior executive at City Power. So all around, everybody says, no, this is good news. So really good to hear that.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.